question. What's going on in the pop culture world
in
the moment?
I mean, it's probably old news, but I'm just out of touch with things.
Triple Lennon's been shot.
I noticed some things. Obviously, Facebook has realised that I'm into Disney and it's targeting some adverts at me. So I saw that there are Disney-themed baubles and Christmas decorations available at the Disney store. And I thought, oh, and it's got like Olaf. It's got like Rafiki, like Cinderella.
Are you going to buy these products, Jen?
You know, I would if I had a child. But seeing as I am no longer a child myself, no. But I still think they're very charming and lovely, and I think they're about £10 each and things with it. Yeah, I think it's a huge fan base for those as well. They'll do very well.
I also have news as well, because Spotify has just released its list of the most popular songs, albums and artists of 2016.
Okay.
Just like in 2015. Do you know who's the winner?
Who's the winner?
Hotline Bling singer Drake.
Yay.
So predictable.
Wait,
yay.
For his album or for that?
For one dance, singer.
Presumably.
Yeah.
The special guests are unhappy.
Yeah. I mean, he won because he had 4.7 billion streams.
To be fair, that is a lot of
which is a lot
streams.
Of people. And I get it. I mean, if you want to go out, why not listen to Drake?
I think the target audience for Spotify, I think it all just works well together.
Yeah.
I mean, One Dance was number one for 17 weeks in a row, which
yes.
is absolutely ridiculous for such a poor song. But for any song, but particularly for... To be fair, the songs that are number one for absolutely ages aren't always the best songs. Like, it was threatening but didn't manage to beat Bryan Adams' Everything I Do It For You, which I think is 1991, that was.
Talking about it, One Dance was also the top... It was in the top three songs for most streamed songs in 2016, actually the number one.
What were the other top ones?
I Took a Pill in Ibiza by Posner, and
That's
Don't Let Me Down by The Chainsmokers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which I can't stand it. It's just so annoying, so overproduced.
Yeah, but the people there, they know how to, like, manufacture, like, a hit, you know? Like,
yeah,
they know
it's all about getting
stuff.
Money nowadays in the music industry. I mean, I still have some hope, you know, considering that The Smiths are going to release brand new two songs. So, not totally new, but with a new version, apparently.
It's interesting you say it's all about getting money, because Spotify is kind of notorious for paying the artists so badly for each
but if
stream
they're
of the song.
Streamed a lot, then they get
a lot
of money. Unless you're Taylor Swift and want to make more money out of it, then it's not good for you, but for other artists it's kind of good enough. You also have a news, Ben.
I do have some news which is very close to my heart, which I've just found out 2 minutes ago. And so, continuing on the theme of the sort of 2016 wrap-up, the most followed and liked celebrity of this year on Instagram, which is a completely different medium but is often the same kind of people involved. So Selena Gomez has been named the top followed celebrity. The only account with more followers than her 103 million followers is the Instagram app itself. Taylor Swift is second with 94 million followers. After that is Ariana Grande and Beyonce. And then Kim Kardashian is in at five. So
she's a social media phenomenon, so I'm not surprised about Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, I mean, they all are. This is what is kind of interesting, that the same people who are getting all these streams, I mean, not Taylor Swift on Spotify, because as you said, she's taking all her music off it. But these other, like Selena Gomez will be up there with the most streams this year. Ariana Grande is basically kind of become this kind of queen of pop over the last year and has had kind of single after single being pumped out. And
this is URN.
Welcome back, everyone. Right now I'm so excited because we're gonna be receiving Nottingham's band The Flavels in the studio. Yay!
Hello.
Calm down, Vicky.
And they're about to perform their track Headstrong now live on URN. Whenever you're ready, guys.
Thank you.
You could have told me
instead of letting our love float out the seam. I tried to change my ways, but it wasn't for me. I like being who I wanna be. I tried to be a better man, but it blown up in my face. I guess there's no point in trying to keep up the pace. Oh, now love is gone. Do you feel headstrong? Do you feel better now I'm not by your side? I gave you all I have. I know I'm not mad, because money don't mean anything to me. I tried to be a better man, but it blown up in my face. I guess there's no point in trying to keep up the pace. Oh, now love is gone. Oh, yeah, love is gone. Do you feel headstrong? Do you feel headstrong? No.
Guys,
yeah,
so I'm joined by Billy and Ash from the Flavels, and you just listened to their song Headstrong. So how are you guys? What have you been up to?
Very well, thank you. Just been doing a few gigs and in the studio and stuff. Played Rough Trade on Friday night.
Oh, I like Rough Trade. Yeah,
great gig. Yeah,
good. So, who chose the band's name, and why is it called the Flavels?
Well, basically, we was struggling for a name, and someone was doing some like work around my auntie's house in the garden, and they found it, found this like medallion thing in the ground, and it just said the Flavel Debonair on it. So we just thought, yeah, the Flavels. Came from there.
It's quite a story, actually. A bit more atmosphere.
Was it worth anything? Did you look to see if it was worth anything?
When we did a bit of history, looking into it, I think it's just like some old gas fire or something. So yeah, nothing too special.
I was about to say, I find a lot of strange things in my garden, but yeah, I'm glad it inspired a band name.
Yeah. So when did the band start?
It started about, say, a year and a half ago with me and Grant, and then only about 3 months ago we got a full band together, got a drummer, and Ashley joined. Yeah, so about a year and a half ago.
Yeah. What does inspire your songwriting, and where do you usually write your songs? I'm curious.
I normally write the songs. He's been writing as well, but we haven't had a chance to get like together in the studio and start using this stuff. But I'd say a lot of it is just how like I'm feeling it at the time, and I'll just, you know, it just comes out really. The best ones are like the ones that I write in a couple of minutes, I'd say. Like,
How long did it take you to write this song then?
That song, about 10 minutes.
Yeah,
that's the latest one as well.
Wow.
Does it tend to start on acoustic and then you work out?
Yeah, it always starts on acoustic.
Proper band arrangement.
It's better when you don't like think about it and you just happens.
Yeah.
More easygoing rather than just, I need a pen and paper right now.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Can you name your favourite Flavels track so our listeners can listen to it just right away after the show?
I'd say Psycho is a pretty good one.
What's the story behind this track?
It's just about someone who's very controlling. That's all I can say, really.
Is that based on like
teen relationships?
Love?
That's perfect.
People can relate to some description.
Yeah. Okay.
So, where can everyone check it out, your tracks? And do you have an idea when is your next gig or where you want to perform next? I know you performed quite recently. at the Rough Trade in Bodega.
Bodega? Yeah, we played the Bodega. Yeah. We played the Maze the other week for This Feeling. That was a great gig. Like I say, you can find the tracks on YouTube. We haven't really got any gigs booked out at the minute. We're just working on recording and stuff. Like, we've been recording a lot of stuff ourselves.
Right,
just trying stuff out and then get in the studio, get some new songs down, and hopefully, get some gigs going after Christmas time.
Yeah. What's your YouTube band? What's your name in the YouTube?
It's just The Flavels. That's
it. I think it's Acoustic Sessions or something. There's like three or so videos I could find.
Oh, yeah, that's on my friend's got a channel. We do a lot of, like, live recordings around his house. It's called Artisan Sessions.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. And I think I saw your Libertines cover as well in the Artisan Sessions. How was it?
Yeah, that was great. It's always great going up to see Wolf and that, and, you know, never know what you're going to get up to, but it was just
I didn't even really know that we were going to do that.
We just ended up doing it, and people liked it.
Do you remember the last song you wrote?
The last one I wrote was the one we just played, Headstrong.
All right, so it's a brand new song.
We need a song. You've got 10 minutes.
Oh, wow. Well done, guys. So I think right now we should go for your next song. I think it's called 17, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not like they just spoke about it. Or
So whenever you're ready, just take it away.
Thank you.
Well, I hate every part of you and me. Well, I hate your guts, can't you see? Where was you when we needed you more? You might as well have been a ghost. How could you leave us behind? Not even a penny to get us by. She was 17 and scared out of mind. Even my friend, you have crossed the line. Now, well, you raised another man. Well, what of the man that I become? Guess I will make the same mistakes as you. 'Cause me and her, we stick like glue. How could you leave us behind? Not even a penny to get us by. She was 17 and scared out of mind. Oh, me and my friend, you have crossed the line. Crossed the line. You crossed the line.
Do you guys know a band you would like to collaborate with? If you could collaborate with any band, which one would you collaborate?
There's a very, very good band from Hucknall called The Roughs. A very good band, and I'd love to do something with them. We've been talking about it for a while now. Hopefully it'll come off.
That's
in the near future.
Oh, that's good. Which local bands you guys like, because you're obviously local and I guess you're in touch with them and you probably hang out with them because you're all in the same music scene.
Yeah, like I say, The Roughs are good. There's a band called Smith and Groves from our area, Clifton. Also Wolf Baker, he's good. Who else? Super Furniture are pretty good as well.
Furniture?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's a good name. Were you a big sort of follower of the music scene before you started to play gigs, or were you more of a kind of guitar in your bedroom and then...
More like that, more the guitar in my bedroom sort of thing. And then it's mad how many opportunities there is for people out there in Nottingham.
Good on you guys.
So, good call. When did you guys decide you wanted to start a band and do music? When you were like, oh, that's the moment, we should just do it. How did you get into it?
Well, basically just hanging around with my mate Grant, and he just showed me a few chords and it just came to me naturally, really. And then we just started jamming together, and then that was it. It was like, yeah, let's make a band. Wasn't very good when we started out, like, but
not very good. What, did you have to take singing lessons or something? Like, what?
Well, yeah, you just practice it. It happens.
Yeah. Practice makes everything better. I think sometimes I still listen to my first show on URN and I go back like, oh.
Yeah, we're like nervous every time we come on the show, but we just chat and laugh to try and fill the silence. Are you guys really nervous? Like, I mean, every time you perform.
It does get easier, but sometimes it catches you out, you know. Like,
are there particular people that you get nervous playing in front of?
Yeah, family sometimes. People like my mum and that.
This is URN. Hello everyone, welcome back to URN, and right now gonna talk about the best songs of 2016. Yay!
Okay, right.
Alright, so what's the list saying, Ben?
So there'll be.
Do it.
So we've actually already mentioned quite a lot of them. So number 10 is After the After Party by Charlie XCX, which that's a fairly recent song. It's produced by Major Lazer, which is a surprise to me because I didn't think it's particularly good. Lady Leisure with Where Are You Now is number 9. Man by Skepta. Skepta, of course, won the Mercury Prize this year. Ultra Light Beam from The Life of Pablo, which is, of course, Kanye West.
They sound more like the hottest songs this year rather than...
You know what, some... It seems to
I
be
mean,
a
what
strange
are the criteria,
mix.
You know?
It seems to be a strange mix between reasonably kind of mainstream, as in it's not like you're gonna go, I've heard of this brand new rapper, he's called Kanye West. So there's there's this young singer songwriter that's coming up, she's called Beyonce, you're gonna really love her. But equally, it's not it's not going full on mainstream. Like, we were talking about this before the show, like, how do you measure what the top best songs are? Like, it's a bit of a ridiculous concept in a way, but
because I know for the Time magazine she wasn't top one, she was the number one artist for best song of the year. They considered Formation the best song of the year, which is a bit repetitive, and I get it, it's a good song in a way because it also encourages black woman, it's about black power in part of her lyrics, but at the same time she mentions about how she looks amazing in her Givenchy dress. So she's a bit out of touch with reality.
Yeah, like her ego, Vicky, is that what it is?
Sorry?
Looking good in my Givenchy, I don't know.
Yes, something like this. Yeah, I just...
For our next feature, we are now going to rap each of the top 10 songs of the year.
That would be a good feature. Maybe next week. Let's see how it goes. But I don't know. I don't think she really deserved it. I mean, the choreography is great, so well done for her.
Yeah, it's like visual album. Like, it's more... I don't know, is it more about that?
But it's so repetitive. It says slay, slay, over and over again.
Using to look at is the worst list of the year.
Yes.
And so I've got Time's top 10 worst song of the year.
Yes,
list,
let's do it.
Yeah, I know, let's it's inherently more fun. And I mean,
go ahead.
So
then.
Number 10, Disagree With This, 7 Years by Lucas Graham.
Terrible song.
I love that
song. I totally agree. So annoying.
Hang on, can you give us a demo? I'm lost.
Once I was 7 years old. Yeah. That'll do.
Okay, go.
Look, it's storytelling. It's a brilliant song. He's got a Danish accent. It's wonderful.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. I don't agree with that. Okay, number 9.
But it's annoying.
Number 9 is a song called Private Show by Britney Spears, which I would disagree that it's not the 9th worst song of the year, because I think it's probably the worst.
Coming from Britney Spears, I think it's well deserved that she got on the list. I'm so sorry, Britney fans.
Oh, have you heard her... So her latest album that
I
came
just
out
know
this
that
year,
everything that... Every song she releases usually has auto-tune, so the fact she just... uses out
Britney released an album this year.
Britney released an album this year which has a lot of good stuff on it, and the last song on the deluxe version of the album, yes, I've listened to the deluxe version of the album.
Oh, nice.
Someone is a Britney fan.
The last song is entirely in French, and I thought, oh, is she singing some French folk song? No, I looked into it. She wrote a song entirely in French.
Wow, well done.
Yeah.
It's like adding a whole new dimension to a song. What's
maybe
she
can
at?
Speak French.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, it's really interesting. However, Private Show, which I think is the third song on the album, which tracks 3 or 4, pretty important tracks on an album. It's just awful. We'll move on. Otherwise, we'll be here forever. I think you're probably going to, if you don't like your repetition, you're going to agree with this one. No by Meghan Trainor is in
it. Oh, I know. I mean, it has a good message. It's about consent. So, looking at this side, I don't know. It's about like.
I never look at these like political moral messages from songs.
You have to look at it. It's about empowering women as well. But
so the message of the song is no, means no. Yeah, it's a very important message. I do agree.
But at the same time, it's. I mean, if we're going to talk about the melody, it's...
No.
Yeah, you can do something better with it. Yeah, it's awful.
We need to move on because I believe she makes another appearance in the list, so we can't run out of Meghan Trainor hate material just yet. Number 7, again, I disagree with this. The song I Hate You, I Love You.
I hate this song.
Oh, I love the song. So
I hate it. You love it.
But I've never known if it's Nash or Ganache or...
Anyway,
that bloke.
I know Posner got on the list as well.
No, well, okay, well, you're getting ahead of yourself, but I think it might be number 1, we'll say. I mean, it's not... He's not a wonderful singer.
Is he the
singer.
Number one?
I don't Shall know. We just jump to... No, I can tell you what he is, because he's the number 6. We've just got... So number 6 is I Took a Pill in Ibiza by Mike Posner. Not the remix, which was the one that was everywhere, and I think you said is the second biggest song of 2016, but the original song, which is just a... It's just an acoustic song. It's not... I mean, anyone who... Half the people won't know what I'm talking about, but it's not actually...
I'm going to give one word that will describe perfectly this song. Generic.
Have you heard the original?
Everything. You like a lot of generic
things.
I heard
the mixed version.
Yeah, no. But this is... If you don't...
Which is the famous version.
So if you think that the mixed version is generic...
I think I've heard the other version as well, but it was a bit boring.
If you think that the
mixed
version is...
And lyrically speaking, it's annoying as well, and... I think anyone could write in 5 minutes, so...
Well, we had the Flavels writing songs in 10 minutes, and they were pretty good, so...
Yeah, but they were good, you know?
Number 5 you might have to help me out with, Bad Things by Gun Machine Kelly.
I don't even know what
blank
song
looks,
is this.
Blank looks in the studio.
Blank looks. I mean, it's called Bad Things, let's just assume that it's true to its title. Number 4 is... Now, this is an interesting pick. It's Ghostbusters, the Fall Out Boy remix of it.
Oh, I've heard it.
The version of it.
I think the thing is, in comparison to the original one, it's not as good.
Well, it's never going to be...
Twinned with the film? Is that why?
Yeah, so it's... And the film got so much hate, and... I don't know. I just don't think it's that bad. And
I think Fall Out Boy is
bad.
Better doing the things that they do, not doing music for films.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry.
That's true. So that's number 4.
Leave it to Hans Zimmer.
Yeah. Yeah. So number 3.
So number 3, we have A Team by Iggy Azalea.
I mean, it's Iggy Azalea.
She went off the face of the planet. Like some.
Well,
can she even rap?
Can she even rap? She described... No, never mind.
No.
She described... The other day at an award ceremony, she got an award, and she described a particular part of her anatomy as the greatest in the world.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's just... She's just awful, right?
That sort of competition is everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
With, like, Minaj.
Number 2.
Number 2, we've got Meghan Trainor back again, this time with Mum. Never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, I mean... You're listening to a popular
culture
show, baby.
So...
Yeah, no, I don't
expect much from her.
Don't feel bad that I've never heard of it. And number one, I definitely disagree with.
It's the Justin Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake can't stop the feeling. See, I think that's something that you have on
it's
a pre-drinks.
It's a happy song.
So for everyone, this is worst songs of 2016 as rated by Time magazine. Do we agree?
Yeah.
No, not even a little bit.
I agree with some songs in this list, but at the same time, I think Justin Timberlake, he did something which could be Ollie Murs song. Do you know Ollie Murs?
Yeah.
It could be any Ollie Murs song. So is it creative? No. Does he have a good feeling in the song? Yeah. Is he alright to listen to it before going out for a nightclub on a Saturday or Friday night? Yes, that will do.
It's not really that bad. We know that Phil...
No, I think it's not like go lucky, feel good
sort of music.
I think it's... who produced it? Or
No. It's not related to Pharrell Williams, but the mood is quite the same
as
Happy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like reminiscent of that. Like, just fit with me, like soundtrack.
So, the song Happy was absolutely everywhere last year, and that was... got a lot of hate, and that was from Despicable Me 2, and you kind of think, well, why are you hating on the song that's effectively from a children's movie? And Can't Stop the Feeling is from the film Trolls, which a lot of people don't know. I mean, it was this massive sort of publicity stunt at the Eurovision Song Contest where it's bad enough that we had Australia competing in the Eurovision Song Contest, but we had this American coming over and using it as a so that's when Can't Stop the Feeling was debuted at the
Ones I would say which are good, Flume have been a highlight this year, I think, for me. They've done a lot of collaborations, so there's like Kai, Never Be Like You, there's Tove Lo,
which song?
Luna George.
I like a lot of Tove Lo. I think so. Close with Nick Jonas, I think, is a great song.
Yeah I mean, for me, I really can't stand Chainsmokers. I think they're repetitive, generic, annoying. The guy can't sing at all.
We get a lot of pleasure out of hating on the show, don't we? This is what the pop of the table is about. Bringing back to Mean Girls here.
We're just being honest, you know?
Yeah. Album-wise, like...
Album of the year.
Yeah, so there was Flume, I really enjoyed, and, like, I'm actually getting more into him, but you know Kendrick?
Kendrick Lamar.
He's got like an untitled, unmastered album, and it's like really bizarre, but I actually love it. It's kind of like mixtapey, but also, you know, sort of in the middle. And
I'm gonna be so, I mean, you keep saying generic and so like,
yeah, and then you're gonna say Closer by the Shame.
No, I'm gonna say
this
best
is such
album
a band
of the year.
Song.
But
okay.
My favorite album of the year, or at least the best album of the year, is probably Blonde by Frank Ocean. Like. Everyone thinks it is, and when it comes down to
bit
it...
Bit of Frank in there.
Yeah, he's going to like, clean up on the at the awards like Kendrick did at the last year's... not MOBOs, what are they called? What are the American Music Awards called? Not the American Music Awards, because they're pop, but the Grammys. He'll probably clear up at the Grammys.
Fair enough, yeah. I mean,
so,
for me...
Best album.
For me, I would say I like When You Sleep, for You Are So Beautiful Yet So Unaware of It.
Oh, the 1975.
Yes.
There we go.
I think it was a brilliant album. It had really long tracks, like Somebody Else. I think it's a 6-minute track.
It definitely wins the award for the creepiest album title of the year.
Oh, probably, yes. Very
so
long
weird.
Title. But it also was considered one of the best albums of the year as well. So it's worth it to check it out. I really like, personally, the sound, which I already played here. I really like Somebody Else. Nana is a good song as well. She's Lays Down is very personal. It's about his mother. So you can actually see there's so much emotion attached to the song instead of, you know, like Chainsmokers, who probably wrote a song in 5
yeah,
minutes with other
subjective.
People in the room.
Do you prefer feel good music or something personal to you? It's
I think
completely different.
Music should be personal, you know, unless you want to go out
like
and club.
Art. Like art,
like
Vicky.
Art, you know. Music is about art, and the problem is there's a lot of manufactured music, and I think the distinction right now, it's so blurred. People don't see the distinction about going out music, you know, just music for having fun and music for actually
like
listening to it. And wow, someone actually put an effort and wrote this and thought about this and was maybe having the same feelings as what it's mentioning in the song. This is what makes the song really special for me. And I know that Matt Healy, he mentioned this in his NME interview, because his album was also considered the best album of 2016, and he mentioned, no, there's no point in doing music if it's not about me showing what I felt and putting in a song so other people can also relate to it. And I think this is how I feel about music and arts in general. There's no point in hearing things that can't represent you.
Yeah.
Or if you do, it might be a way of escape, but at least it should be truthful to the person who wrote it.